for another edition of Hoosier Ag This Week. I'm Eric Pfeiffer from Hoosier Ag Today, ready to run down the news and information from a very busy week in Indiana and U.S. agriculture. It was busy in Indiana, specifically Indianapolis, with blue jackets swarming the Indiana Convention Center. No, not the wasps. The corduroy FFA blue jackets. The National FFA Convention was this week, and around 70,000 people from around the country made their way in for the event. We have stories from Indiana FFA members enjoying the convention this week, and Purdue was there as well. We'll tell you what they were up to. Last week, we heard from the Democrat candidate for lieutenant governor. Today, you'll hear from the Republican candidate. You'll also get an update on the farm markets today, but let's begin with the weather. After some rain rolled through on Friday, Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin is calling for a sunny and dry weekend in his Seed Genetics Direct harvest weather forecast. It will be a little bit on the cool side, but next week starts with a big surge in temperatures. And
it's going to be windy here Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, particularly Tuesday. I think we do not see any precipitation all the way through that stretch. I'm pushing our next frontal boundary off just a little bit. So very fast to drying Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You need to keep your foot on the gas in harvest because we are going to be seeing a major pattern change once we get done with Wednesday evening.
Halloween next week will not only be spooky, it'll also be rainy.
I'm looking for next Thursday day to pick up anywhere from a quarter to maybe 1.5 inches of rain. The higher end of the rain range is all dependent on thunderstorms. So if the thunderstorms rain themselves out a little bit farther west and north, which I think is possible, we'll be to the low end of the rain range. But I think 80 to 90% of Indiana sees rain next Thursday. Then we see a resurgence along that old frontal boundary. It kind of stalls here on Halloween, and that resurgence comes overnight Friday night through Saturday the 2nd. So the 1st into the 2nd, another slug of moisture coming up out of Texas, Oklahoma, Missouri. I think we can pick up another quarter to 1 inch of rain with 100% coverage there. So significant moisture coming as we finish out next week.
More forecast details coming up in minutes. Martin has his full Indiana Farm forecast on the way. With the National FFA Convention in town this week, Keystone Cooperative took the opportunity to corral students from Indiana, Michigan, and Ohio chapters at their Indy headquarters to discuss career pathways within their organization.
Our SEED program, which is an acronym for Securing Experience in Employee Development.
That's Lindsay Sankey, Director of Public Relations for Keystone, who says they're looking for senior FFA students who have decided they want to enter the workforce after graduation instead of attending college to apply for their SEED program. She explains how it works.
We hope that they hire on with Keystone and retire with us in 40 years, but it is a 2-year employment commitment where they rotate through our agronomy business, our energy business, grain, and then also swine and animal nutrition. They'll also spend some time in our corporate office learning business acumen, HR, marketing, IT even, all the different things that go on Keystone.
And then at the end of those 2 years, the employee will then meet with the SEED program coordinator to figure out which area was the best fit and where they should continue their career with Keystone. Throughout the 2 years, Keystone will also take care of the necessary accreditations, which would be quite costly to do individually.
We're paying for their CDLs, their applicator's license, port quality assurance training, propane safety training. They essentially start earning money the first day that they show up in the SEED program, and we take care of all that financial burden.
If you're an interested FFA senior,
visit keystonecoop.com/careers. Click on the SEED program. It says FFA member opportunity, and they can learn more about the SEED program.
The deadline to apply is January 31st. Again, this is a paid position with benefits. Our coverage of the National FFA Convention this week is brought to you by Keystone. They believe in the power of National Blue and Corn Gold, and they salute our local FFA members during the National FFA Convention and beyond. Much more from the convention coming up on today's show. Republican candidate for Indiana Lieutenant Governor Micah Beckwith is our guest on the latest Indiana Ag Policy Podcast. He won the nomination for LG at the Republican convention back in June, and since then, Many would call him polarizing for some of his views and opinions.
You know, I'm labeled as polarizing. I don't think I am. That's not who I am. Anyone who knows me knows that I'll give you the shirt off my back. I build consensus. I don't care where you are in the ideological spectrum. If we can work together, we're going to find a way to do that. Now, the media will label me this because I don't put up with some of the nonsense of today's culture.
He dives much deeper into that in the Indiana Ag Policy Podcast, available now wherever you listen to podcasts. Beckwith believes a big reason he was able to win over the delegates at the convention was his stance on property taxes, and he knows farmers are facing significant increases again. He believes property taxes are unconstitutional.
I also know that we've created this problem over about 100 years, and we can't just fix it overnight. So I'm not saying that we just pull the rug out because it would destroy rural communities. But my heart will always be to get it back to what it was more intended to be. And so with me, and I know with Mike, we are going to be fighting tooth and nail for those property taxes to come down big time, because we cannot sustain this type of egregious overreach by government. If this goes on much longer, our farmers are going to die.
He also promises farmers that a Braun Beckwith administration will push back against the federal government when necessary. He points to the summertime waiver of E15 sales that the industry needs to seek each year, instead of the EPA following science and allowing it year-round.
To me, that is insane. It's like, why is the government stepping in and making it so hard to do business? Let the market do what the market does. So I think first and foremost, from the Braun Beckwith team, you're going to get somebody that will fight the federal regulations that keep farmers from being able to do what we know is best for our own families, our own crops, and our own businesses.
Again, hear much more from Beckwith in the Indiana Ag Policy Podcast, wherever you listen to podcasts, or just download the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app. Much more in the way of farm news coming up, and the Indiana Farm Forecast on the way as well. But right now, let's check in on the markets and welcome in Andy Eubank. Andy?
Thank you, Eric. We had some liquidation on Friday in corn, soybeans, and wheat. We'll have the final numbers coming up. First market analysis, we begin with Brian Basting, economist at Advanced Trading, and I spoke with him in the middle of the Friday session. We have a sell-off that's been the case from the start of trade to end the week, so we're going into the weekend looking at some corn and soybean market profit-taking in all likelihood. And even though we got some export sales, some flash sales announced again on Friday, the markets have a weaker tone, maybe due for a setback.
Yeah, I think you summarized that well. Thanks for having me, Andy. We're going to look at some profit taking here, I think, on a Friday before probably the last big harvest weekend here of 2024. We've had some strong export business, as you said, here throughout the week, a strong flat price rally in December corn futures. A bit of a bounce in November beans up on Thursday, although it pulled back since then. But as we enter the end of this trading here for the week, I think we are seeing some long liquidation, maybe a little bit of pre-hedging by the country elevator industry here ahead of a weekend, too, if we are to see some active harvest and maybe some producers selling over the weekend. So, yeah, I think all those factors have combined together to feel a little bit of a setback here on Friday.
Outside markets, the dollar, crude oil, and the stock market have shown some real moves up and down this week. Are those still impacting the markets, or have we divorced ourselves from that effect somewhat?
I think there's still secondary factors, Andy, in the scheme of things. Anytime you have the strength of the dollar, those factors are going to be impacting the grain markets. However, I would emphasize right now, this is a export-driven market, particularly for corn. These are the highest export sales we've seen over the last 4 weeks for the last 30 years. That's how strong this export market has been.
Brian Basting at Advanced Trading. The number there, 309-664-2314. Now, final numbers from Friday trade. 6.25 lower Dease corn. It ended at 415.25. March, 429.5, a nickel and a half lower. 8.5 down on November beans, 987.75. January contract, 997.5, a loss of 7.5 cents. March goes to 1009, 7 cents off. December wheat down 12.5 cents, 569. And in the protein sector, December live cattle 189.15, a dime down. December lean hogs up $1.02, 79.67. You are up to date on the markets. Much more still to come on the weekend show. I'm Andy Eubank. This is Hoosier Ag Today's Hoosier Ag This Week.
the fields of green have turned to gold. And that means drivers are sharing the road with Indiana's farmers as they work to harvest their crops. That's why Hoosier Ag Today, the Indiana State Department of Agriculture, and Keystone Cooperative are working together to remind motorists to be patient with large, slow-moving farm equipment and vehicles. Farmers and ag workers have a job to do, and they know that drivers have somewhere to be, and they want to help you get where you need to go. Do your part and make safety a priority. Please take extra precautions when you see that slow-moving vehicle sign on combines, tractors, and grain trucks, and be alert, be slow, and be focused. If we do these things, we'll all get home safely this harvest season. Find more tips for safe travel this harvest season online at isda.in.gov. Brought to you by Hoosier Ag Today, the Indiana State Department of Agriculture, and Keystone Cooperative.
We are starting to see some pattern changes in our outlook, especially as we get into the extended weather forecast period. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Weekend Weather Outlook. Once again, we're focusing a little bit on harvest here. I don't think we have to do that too much longer as harvest is really wrapping up here across the region, even corn. I'm hearing from farmers that they're getting done with corn. Mother Nature gave us one of the oddest harvest windows that we've ever seen here with 8 weeks almost of nearly dry weather across the entirety of the eastern Corn Belt. But we're going to shift into a pattern that can give us two significant frontal passages in 3.5 days as we get through this 10-day forecast window nearby. Let's talk about it. This weekend, fantastic. We are behind a little weather system that moved through late this past week on Friday, gave us a few hit and miss scattered showers and thunderstorms. But behind that system, we are ending up with high pressure to dominate this weekend, and it's a bit cooler. Cooler Canadian air coming into the Great Lakes. So pleasant overall, but cool, dry, good evaporation, even with the cooler temperatures for Saturday and Sunday. We get on the backside of that high to start this upcoming week. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, significant southwest flow. We get very warm and very windy, particularly on Tuesday, where we can see upper 70s and low 80s over a large part of the state. Wednesday will be almost as warm, but clouds increasing just a little bit. These are going to be very warm, very dry days. The wind especially helping to dry down quickly. Make sure you keep at it on harvest because big changes are coming. We have then two fronts, two weather systems that hit in the span of 4 days. The first one hitting on Halloween. Showers and thunderstorms coming through. 1/4 to 1 inch rainfall totals. 100% coverage across the Hoosier State. We'll take a break for Friday. Be a little bit cooler, but partly sunny. And we'll be cool and partly sunny to start Saturday before clouds increase quickly. System number two comes out of the Great Plains for Saturday afternoon through Sunday midday. Can give us showers and storms anywhere from 1/4 to 1.5 inches, depending on the thunderstorm activity. I think there's a potential for strong to severe action. We'll see. But the story's the same. Moisture is coming. Behind that second system, we dry down for the balance of the third and going into the start of the week of the fourth. The extended 11 to 16 day forecast window shows another weather system trying to come out of western Canada, the Canadian prairies, down in maybe some moisture the sixth into the seventh. Cooler temperatures all that week to finish out that first full week of November. And we're also looking at drier conditions trying to come back, but not necessarily winning the day in the month of November, especially in northern parts of the state. So, pattern change? I think it's upon us. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
There's something to be said about being early. You get a better place in line, maybe a better seat at the table, and sometimes being early will save you money. Like when you order seed early from Seed Genetics Direct. Place your order for the next growing season with Seed Genetics Direct by November 10th, and you'll save $10 per unit on corn and $2 per unit on soybeans. It's time to leave the nest, early birds, and visit SeedGeneticsDirect.com to order. Value, knowledge, performance, it's in there. Genetics, Seed Genetics Direct.
Welcome back to Hoosier Ag This Week. I'm CJ Miller with Hoosier Ag Today, and the weather has remained cooperative for Indiana farmers over the past 8 weeks or so. And for many, harvest is either complete or rapidly approaching the finish line. Eric Pfeiffer joins us once again with a Pioneer Seeds Harvest Update.
North Central Indiana Pioneer agronomist Brian Early says it's time to start prioritizing fall fertilization
and fall-applied herbicides. Early believes there's not a lot of dry fertilizer going on this year with the economics being what they are, but he's encouraging you to consider a fall potash application.
There's been some work by North Dakota State and Purdue as well, showing the difference between fall fertilization of potash and spring, because potash is potassium chloride with no separate in the soil. Our crops don't need the chloride. Chloride's not something we want in the soil. So getting that on in the fall, or a pretty good buffer between planting in the spring, has unlocked some bushels. So where people might not be thinking about putting on some fertilizer on some ground that you know is going to soybeans next year, I would probably think pretty hard about getting some potash on in the fall.
Weeds are always every farmer's battle. Early says that this year, like previous years, really showed the value of getting something on in the fall.
You don't have to spend a lot of money. You knock out those winter annuals. Those winter annuals are a bridge to keep this nematode going well into the season when it's warm like this. And then they just keep the soil wet and moist and cold in the spring. So by knocking them out, you get nice warm soils. The other thing is the fall programs, there's a little bit of residual in some of those products. So you can keep some of your weeds at bay and give you some pretty nice flexibility getting into even the post applications on corn or beans next year when, you know, you get into late May or early June.
Hear the full hat interview with Early at HoosierAgToday.com. You can get in touch with your Pioneer representative to start putting a plan together for next year by visiting pioneer.com/findmyrep. I'm Eric Pfeiffer.
Well, more than 70,000 junior high and high school students have traveled to downtown Indianapolis this past week. And no, it's not because of Taylor Swift. She's not performing at Lucas Oil Stadium until next weekend, November 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. In fact, this weekend, all of those students are wearing blue corduroy jackets and are visiting the Circle City as part of the 97th National FFA Convention and Expo.
It's huge that it's in Indiana, and it's just wonderful that we have such a good host city here.
And that's Ethan Wallheater, president of Indiana FFA, who's also originally from LaGrange County. The convention isn't just in Indianapolis this year, but for the next 9 years to come.
It being in Indiana provides an opportunity for those that maybe would not travel far to a state across the country. It being in our back door provides opportunities for so many, especially younger members, to experience national convention, as that is one thing that is huge in getting involvement. And when they see that at the national level, they know they're a part of something huge.
And while walking around the Indiana Convention Center this past week, I was on the lookout for a group of students wearing those blue jackets, but I was looking specifically for those with Indiana emblazoned in both bold and gold on the back. The first FFA chapter I came across was South Decatur FFA. Brooklyn Ortman is a sophomore at South Decatur High School, which is just south of Greensburg. She shared why she became a member of FFA.
My dad and my grandpa and my uncles were all a part of FFA, and so it's just a family thing. I just thought it was something that would really a really fun opportunity, and I found out that I really liked it.
She also says that FFA has helped sharpen her skills as she plans to attend Indiana University in Bloomington and study nursing.
FFA has given me great communication skills. I've also learned through the CDEs that I do to work under pressure. I participate in soils and parliamentary procedure, and so it's just given me a really good opportunity for those things.
The second group of students I met this week was the Eastside FFA chapter. They're from DeKalb County, north of Fort Wayne. And Keaton Brown is a freshman at Eastside High School in Butler, Indiana. He told me he had a rather unique reason for joining FFA.
I became a member because Miss Hook, my advisor, was actually my babysitter. And so I've always been good friends with Miss Hook, and my sisters have always done FFA, and it looked fun, so I decided to join.
You can check out much more of our coverage from this week's National FFA Convention and Expo. It's at HoosierAgToday.com, and we'll also have more from the convention coming up a little later in the show. Expanding ag trade and creating more container shipping opportunities are the goals behind an agreement between the Indiana State Department of Agriculture and the ports of Indiana.
We have three ports in Indiana. That's sometimes surprising considering our geography. But the one thing we don't have is a container loading system, and that's really what this is about.
And that's Don Lamb, director of ISDA. He says the critical parts of this new agreement between both ISDA and Ports of Indiana is that they're both looking to develop new container loading and shipping facilities.
The key to us sending out products is our ability to bring in products as well, because it doesn't work unless it's a two-way system. So when you say we're going to do that, we're going to bring in products from other countries in a containerized environment. Well, we have to have things like border control and security to do that, to make sure what we're bringing in is safe. So there's a lot more to it than just being able to send things out. And so it's a little bit more of a complicated process than one might think. But it's super important, and I think it's going to be a great step for Indiana farmers.
And once those new container shipping facilities are up and running, Lamb says it will be that much easier to make those ag trade agreements directly with international buyers, which in turn will increase the value of the ag products that are grown, raised, and produced right here in Indiana.
Indiana is the seventh largest ag export state in the country. And when you consider we're the 38th largest in size, I think that's a great testament to our farmers and what we do.
Read more at HoosierAgToday.com. Coming up, Eric Pfeiffer is at the National FFA Convention and Expo in downtown Indy as he chats with Abby Heidenreich from Orange County. She's also a member of the Purdue Extension Farm Stress Team. We'll hear more about that coming up. I'm CJ Miller with Hoosier Ag Today, and this is Hoosier Ag This Week.
Ag Bioscience, the number one ag tech podcast globally, is now available on video. Hear the latest from innovators in food, animal health, plant science, ag tech, and agriculture.
I would say if you have an idea, if you have a vision, with all the resources there are in Indiana, the Hunger Tech Challenge, the University Research Funds, Elevate Ventures, federal research grants, it's never been easier to start a business at any point in American history, and the barriers continue to be eroded. So by all means, if you are a person that has an idea, realistically assess, what do you have to lose here? You have so much more to gain by taking these necessary risks. And in the worst case scenario, it's going to be a very good learning experience along the way. But I think that's the best advice I can give, because typically the people who develop highly defensible business models were too early for a period of time. And they were probably the ones that moved the market and made the time happen for themselves.
Get more episodes online at agrinovusindiana.com. Click on podcasts. Also available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome back, and thanks for joining us on Hoosier Ag This Week. Eric Pfeiffer here at the Indiana Convention Center for the National FFA Convention, and I'm here with Abby Heidenreich with the Purdue Extension Farm Stress Team here in the Expo Hall. And a lot of folks rolling through and a lot of blue jackets stopping here at the Purdue Extension Farm Stress Team booth. Abby, that's good news, because you want to have as many conversations with these youngsters as possible. Here I am, sounding like an old man. These youngsters, these young whippersnappers. But they are, they're kids, and we have to remember that. Their input is valuable here, because we want to make sure that their mental health is strong as, you know, they're growing up on the farm. We want them to come back, and this is where the conversations start, right?
Absolutely. Eric, you're doing a great job of talking about it, because I think you should join the Purdue Extension Farm Stress Team, just you're doing a great job talking about it. We are so excited to be back at National FFA Convention. It's one of the highlights of our year to be able to come and to interact with the next generation of agriculturalists, to make sure that they know that there are groups out there that are advocating for them, for their voice and their mental health in the future of agriculture. And so what we want to do here is we want to talk to as many kids as we can and just let them know, open up that conversation about their mental health, what their family life looks like either on the farm or in a rural community, and what kind of things they could do to make a difference in their community, in their family, and just in the world really right now, just looking at it from a global perspective and mental health the way it is right now. We're in a really interesting situation this year, particularly with crop prices the way they are, which is in the tank. And so what we can do here is really start to point out some of those stressors that farmers deal with on a regular basis in ways that youth can understand it and really start to make sense of it all and put themselves in that puzzle as they fit in with their role in the future of their family's farm, in the future of their community, and in the agricultural industry as a whole.
Abby, as we have these conversations, I mean, you guys go from community to community to talk about mental health and farm stress. Are we seeing a change between generations and how this conversation goes when we talk to the older generations and now you're here talking with these FFA students? It has to be a different conversation. The stigma, it is changing a little bit, isn't it?
I would like to think that it is. I like to come at things pretty optimistically. I can definitely tell a difference in the groups that we've visited multiple times and their receptiveness to opening up and talking about their mental health. When we first started out a few years ago, especially pre-COVID, a lot of the farm stress programs that we would do, we would get a lot of deer in the headlights looks and a lot of people that wouldn't want to make eye contact with us and they didn't want us to call on them. Well, we've adapted as a team and we've also tried to mold the landscape of the mental health and agriculture world just a little bit to make people a little bit more receptive to at least having a conversation about mental health. I always like to say in the programs that I do, I'm not asking you to sit in a circle and sing kumbaya. I just want you to recognize that we all struggle from time to time. I'm not asking you to raise your hand. I'm just asking you to point out that, hey, some people have issues. I may be some people, but even if you come to a program and you don't think that you need the mental health information or the resources that we present, you may know someone. We all know someone who could benefit from those resources. So I always ask participants to pay attention because they may not think that they need it, but someone else may need it. And then they may end up needing it down the road and they've heard it before. So those older generations are usually a little less receptive to the mental health kind of whole topic. But as we get younger, the generations are much more open to it. And, you know, the kids that we see here at National FFA Convention, they come up to our booth. They walk up because they're interested. They see something that strikes a chord with them. They want to know more about what's happening here. And our booth, our big stand up in the middle says, "Stigma lies, you're not alone." And that's an important punchline that a lot of kids come up. It draws them in because they want to know what we're talking about and they want to know what they can do to make a difference in their community.
And there's a lot here and we've got blue jackets here. The advisors, they're coming up here as well. They want to learn more about this.
They are coming up, especially this year. This year, we are so excited to launch our youth curriculum. So it's Farming Futures is the name of it. And we have developed an entire lesson plan with it's correlated to standards, formal lesson plan with activities that come along with it, a lot of resources and things that come along with it. And so we are debuting that here at National FFA Convention. We have a presentation running. We've got a printed form of it. And we are just gathering interest from these FFA advisors and these ag teachers, because what we've done is we've really developed a mental health lesson that can be taught in ag classrooms that really speaks to the youth in agriculture. A lot of times the school-wide mental health programming may not speak to everybody in the ag classroom. So what we want to do is really target that and bring in some of those niche examples that will help them understand their mental health.
And where folks can find more information?
extension.purdue.edu/farmstress.
That's Abby Heidenreich, Purdue Extension Farm Stress Team. We appreciate what you and your team. This is important stuff, so please visit that website, learn more about what they're doing, and please, if you need help, there's a number you can call as well. What is it, Abby?
It's 988.
They're always there to help. Thanks for joining us on this weekend's edition of Hoosier Ag This Week. We're back next weekend, same hat time, same hat channel. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.